This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back in prime time this week, for now anyway,
It's about time. These 1 o'clock Sunday games are killing me.
I'm so bored by 1 o'clock Sunday kickoffs. Man, let's go back 10 years and see what we sound like about that.
Like a bunch of.
Can I just have a Thursday night?
We sound like a bunch of babies.
Can I just have a Thursday night game against Jacksonville once, please? Right. Can the Bills just qualify for that? But now it's like, oh, I got to stay up. So Tuesday morning, we're going to be dragging. It's easier when they win. This is, I was about to say, at least for now, though, the Bills' last game of the season that is not on a Sunday. There's no more Monday night unless flexing, you know, it's a Saturday or whatever. Sal always knows a lot about that. But Sal, at least the regular schedule here, no more Thursdays, no more Mondays. Still some night action down the road, but it'll get a little bit more casual here, to put it one way.
Yeah, for sure. We Matt Bovey and I just recorded an Always Game Day Buffalo podcast, and we talked about that this week, which is like, man, I remember... You know, we all do, right? Like when, wow, the Bills are going to be on prime time. It was such an event just to have a prime time game. And now we're kind of prime time fatigue in a lot of ways. You never want to complain about being good. That's the that's what happens when your team is good. But it becomes a grind. It becomes, you know, difficult for a lot of people, for fans, people like us who cover the team in a lot of different capacities. So I think that, you know, after this week, it's nice to know it's much more routine. Now there are 4 p.m. or 4:25 p.m. Eastern time games on Sundays. That gets thrown in there. But, yeah, only Sunday, nothing on Monday unless there's some sort of flex down the road.
And you might be ready to say, Bulldog, about the Jets' version of this, because they had night game week one, Thursday night week three.
On the road.
In week one, yes. Week five, they go to London. Then there's this game. Next week, Sunday night. On the road. Week 9, Thursday night. 2 Thursday nights.
Right.
Week 11, Sunday night as well. And then calmness. Yeah.
The start especially, I think, you know, not that we are here to have any sympathy for the Jets, but I think they got worked at the first, like, 6-7 weeks of the season, like Mike just laid out.
Yeah, and I also want to point out the schedule in general for the Bills, the teams they play, right? Which is, like, we all recognized that the first 6 games were going to be pretty difficult. And look, this is a big game for that swing of 3-3-4-2. I think we probably had a discussion at some point, on the show, that, hey, would you take 4-2 through the first 6? Yeah, you know what? Sounds pretty good. I think you could go with 4-2, and you feel pretty good about yourselves looking ahead. And look, if they could get to 4-2, guys... I mean, the next 4 games are very winnable for the Buffalo Bills. In fact, so much so that I would expect them to win at least 3. And if something, unless something goes wrong, I think they should win all 4 games. Like, you're in a position, if you win this week, I think you're looking at 8-2 as very doable.
I asked Bulldog the other day if he would take 6-4 from here, Sal, and he said no. You would say no?
I'd say no. I think you have a much better look at 7-3 at worst.
Okay. Well, the Jets, I mean, the Jets are the Bills are interesting. The Jets are the bigger story. The Jets maybe are the biggest story in the league right now with the coaching change and the play calling move. They have not cleared, well, sorry, they have cleared 266 total yards once this year. That's that New England game in week 3. You know, say what you want. That was total domination. What are the Bills getting here? There's the emotional stuff where you could look at that either way, I guess. Do you see them as a team that's about to start rolling offensively, or is it more likely that that's just not going to happen?
Well, let's just hope that doesn't happen Monday night to start them rolling offensively. I do think there's a pathway for that to happen. I do. I think there's a path for them to start playing better offensively. I don't know what rolling means for them, though. Like, what's that bar? What's that right. perspective, right? Because they've just been pretty bad on offense. And I just don't know if their offensive line is good enough for them to be rolling offensively. They do not have a quarterback who can kind of really mask that, because Aaron Rodgers, as much as actually he looked pretty mobile the first couple of weeks, he's been getting beat up. And he looks now more like the 40-year-old quarterback coming off an Achilles injury. He wants to get rid of the ball quickly, and I think that's contributing to some of the bad throws, the not seeing guys, the interceptions. He's getting beat up pretty badly back there. They cannot run the football. But here's what I expect on Monday night. They're making a change here to Todd Downing. Now, granted, he was in Tennessee when they had Derrick Henry, so it's a little bit different. But I think they're going to commit to running the ball on Monday night and try. Mm-hmm. They're going to try and pound it at the Bills. The Bills are the last ranked run defense in the league as far as yards allowed per play. They ran the ball well against the Bills last year. They have Breece Hall. They have Braden Allen. I think that they're going to do what they can to pound the ball at the Bills and then say, now you have to, if we can, and you're getting, you know, 4 yards a carry, 5 yards a carry here, now we can get in second and manageable. And now Aaron Rodgers, now you have to be ready for everything. And that's what kind of worries me now. I think overall, big picture, though, it's tough for me to see them sustaining having a really good offense, because I do think their offensive line has issues.
Yeah, and we've seen Rodgers not really be on the same page with the receivers a lot. I'm with you 100%, Sal. For all the talk about the passing game coordinator is taking over the play calling and the fired head coach and all the stuff, yeah, I feel like I'm bracing for 35 rush attempts between Breece Hall mm-hmm. and Braylon Allen in this game. Because, I unless, of course, you know, the game gets away from them or they just can't do it. But, you know, the Bills have gotten run on, so we'll see. I mean, something's got to give here, right? The Jets haven't been good at doing it. The Bills haven't been very good at stopping it. So I think they'd be nuts. Considering, especially, Rodgers is nursing a regular, like, they have to classify it, low ankle sprain.
Oh.
And is already, you know, can't really move that well to begin with the exception, I would say, of that New England game. That's the one game out of the five where I went, oh, God, what happened here? He looks like, you know, Aaron Rodgers from 2010.
I had under 2.5 rushing yards for Aaron Rodgers in that game. Like, at least I've got kneel downs to save me if somehow he runs for 4 yards, and he ran for like 12 right away.
Right.
Like, that one I could have just gone to bed.
Right. So, yeah, I think the running the ball, like, and that's, you know, Sal at Oliver Sells in practice this week. I feel pretty pessimistic about him playing. So we'll see what kind of job the Bills can do if the Jets do try to, you know, smack them.
Yeah, it looks unlikely for Ed Oliver to play at this point from my perspective. We'll see tomorrow if he gets ruled out of the game. He hasn't practiced, of course. Today is only, you know, like a normal Thursday, so we have one more day for that. We'll see what Sean McDermott, you know, and today he didn't rule anybody out. But Dwayne Carter, we've talked about him, mm-hmm. Did a nice job. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see. Can he back it up for another game
right.
like that? I'd love to have Ed Oliver for this reason. Everything we just talked about with Aaron Rodgers, which is his maybe lack of mobility and being banged up. If you can pressure him from the interior, where's he going, right? Is he going to try to get to the outside? Is he going to try and, you know, roll out to make some plays? That's not necessarily Dwayne Carter's game, but he had a couple of nice plays like that. We'll see if he can maintain that. I do believe, though, guys, that this game here is a game where the Buffalo Bills defensive line has to step up. I mean, they impacted the second half C.J. Stroud a little bit more. They really didn't impact him as much in the first half. There were a few times they got close. They just weren't able to get him. But Greg Rousseau, A.J. Epinesa, DeJuan Smoot, who had the nice play to cause the fumble. Like, I just think these guys should be able to beat the Jets' offensive line, and they need to do that. And that's not just getting to Aaron Rodgers. That's stopping the run as well, which obviously right. helps to have Terrell Bernard back, and it looks like Taron Johnson back.
How about Cook and Shakir? So what changes? We've had Shakir out for a game already, but Cook, I know I asked you this yeah. yesterday about him. What do you think they would do? This idea that the Jets will want to run it, I've said the same thing too, and they have just not been effective at all. You see, like, right. Breece Hall has 2 broken tackles this season through 5 weeks. Like, they're just gang tackling him at the line of scrimmage. He had 4 yards against Denver and 23 or something against Minnesota. So there's that side of the ball. The Bills, you know, this season started very successfully with Cook being a really important piece, and this will be their first game without him. He didn't play all the time as a rookie, but he has not missed a game to injury, I believe. So what kind of an adjustment would be needed?
Well, first of all, I just think that, you know, running the football in the NFL, we've talked about this over the years. Like, a lot of times you can just kind of plug somebody in, right? It's not as much of a drop-off as a lot of other places, you know, around the roster. It's just, you know, yeah, it's nice to have a dynamic running back and things you can do. I think what you do lose from James Cook is that flexibility for them to be aware of him coming out of the backfield, catching passes. But you have Ty Johnson, who's got nice hands. Ray Davis can catch the ball. It's not necessarily his game, but he can do something like that. But I think you could still be okay with, you know, going to a Ty Johnson, Ray Davis, you know, type of attack. You know, you hit the hole straight hard. These guys run hard. I think they can pick up the tough yards that you want. You can do things like that. I think Khalil Shakir is much bigger of a piece if you're missing him. If it's the choice between the two, yes, James Cook. I think on the surface, oh my God, they can't deal without James Cook. But what we saw last week, guys, just tells me, like, Khalil Shakir is such a big part of what they do. It just opens other things up. He is able to get open himself. He's able to kind of navigate those spots in the middle of the field. They haven't controlled the middle of the field. They really want to control the middle of the field. I think Khalil Shakir not playing just puts a lot more pressure on those wide receivers to get open on the outside. And as we've talked about, teams are just banking on the fact that they just cannot do that.
Yeah. Sal, it dawned on me earlier today that, of course, we know Shakir missed the Houston game. He was hurt early in the Baltimore game, and I know he still made a big play in it, but like they couldn't really do much through the air except for that long play and then a couple of back shoulders to Coleman. And Shakir was not, you know, 100% there. So I think that's a really big miss. It might sound crazy to have gotten there already, but I think he's a security blanket for Allen, and not having it is really tough.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, just the way that the chess pieces move around, right? If you're a defensive coordinator, your defense, Khalil Shakir in the middle of the field gets you a little more attention. You know that he can kind of navigate his way there. You know, if you don't have him there, who are you putting there? And what does that put? It doesn't stress the defense as much, I think. So now you have kind of different ways that you can go about attacking the Buffalo Bills. You know, and for me, I think Dalton Kincaid has to be big there, too. And if you don't have Shakir, you know, you still have Dalton Kincaid who can be a part of that. But when you put those two together, that, again, it helps you control the middle of the field. I think the Bills have really tried to do that. They've wanted to do that. It just, for some reason, hasn't come to fruition this year as much. Maybe, you know, you go back the first 3 weeks, we can look at the numbers. But especially the last 2 weeks, they've had nothing, you know, in the middle of the field. Now, part of that is Josh Allen is scrambling left or scrambling right. So he's, you know, trying to find something on the boundary as much as possible. They have to get back to being able to throw to the middle of the field effectively.
With Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline, Mike Shope and the Bulldog Football Friday. Well, let's take that a little bit further. generalizing, the idea here with Josh Allen on the Bills, still in his prime, presumably, was that they can withstand these losses at wide receiver, be they off-season departures or an injury. And they are 3-2. I believe they have the best point differential in the AFC through 5 weeks. So it's not all bad, but 9-for-30 last week. What can Allen do about this, Sal? That, you know, if he has to scramble and nobody's open because they can't separate, then you have problems. But to some extent, I wanted to think, and so did a lot of us, that it wouldn't break them if they couldn't get open, and, you know, even if the offensive line wasn't perfect. So what about Allen's sort of responsibility in this?
Let's first be clear. Josh Allen did not play a good game on Sunday. I want to start this by saying that. Like, I'm not defending his play in any way. He was 9-for-30, and he just did not play well. The timing was off. He was not very good. I do think, though, that a lot of the things that are happening are really outside of his control, and he's kind of put in a circumstance where he's trying to make a play. And maybe that's where it comes from, guys, which is, yes, maybe he's trying too hard to make a play instead of just, hey, you see something coming, a hot read, right? Like, but look, Keon Coleman didn't help him out. A little hot read, there's a little slant, things like that. I think that's what Josh can do. I think it's incumbent upon the quarterback here to make sure everybody's on the same page, communication. Hey, if they're going to do this to us, I can throw it to you right off the line of scrimmage. I think about what the Texans did. Those two plays, one in the beginning of the game, one near the end of the game, which we thought was going to win it for the Texans. It didn't, where literally they had the running back leak out of the backfield and just replace the hot guy, right? Replace the blitzer. Like, things like that. These are things that Josh Allen needs to be on the same page with his running backs, with his wide receivers, these hot reads, instead of what we've seen the last 2 weeks is, okay, they're pressing, here comes the coverage, bam, I got to scramble, I got to run, I got to find something, I got to do something. I think earlier in the down, being able to recognize, get the ball out of the hands, find somebody, but that's incumbent upon everybody. And then I also think that he's got to use his legs a little bit more in those situations. You know, running to the sidelines and, you know, getting and running out of bounds in straight parallel versus, hey, you know what, if I could just take off upfield for 2-3 yards, live to fight another down, that might be a little bit better here. I thought there were a couple of times he could have done that last week. He didn't do that. It seems like everything for the last 2 weeks, especially last week, everything's just speeding up, guys. Everything's speeding up for everybody, and they're just not kind of, you know, taking control of making sure they get to where they need to get a little bit earlier after the ball is snapped.
Looking at some good news on the injury front this week, Taylor Rapp clearing concussion protocol. Would you expect he just goes straight in for Bishop, or might there be a mix there with the three, with Bishop, Hamlin, and Rapp?
I think he just goes straight in for Bishop. You know, listen, we all saw last week Cole Bishop had a couple of plays he would definitely want back. And certainly the one in the past game. He also had a couple of runs where he reminded me of like Dorian Williams last year, just out of control, not breaking down, missing the tackle. Those things will come in time. He'll understand. The game just moves so much faster from the college level, the NFL level, and from preseason to the regular season. When you're in there in that situation, you just have to learn to kind of keep your body under control. I think Dorian Williams has done a nice job of that over the last couple of years. Cole Bishop will too. He also had another couple of nice plays of setting the edge. He did a really nice job. That's his game, coming downhill, making those tackles. But I think from what they saw from Cole Bishop, what they know they can get from Taylor Rapp, what he's done, to me it just seems like he's going to go in there, he's going to be the guy. And can we say at all that DeMar Hamlin's really hurt this team at all? I don't know if I can say that. I don't think he has. I think DeMar Hamlin's been fine. Now, he had one interception. He's not a guy that's going to be making plays on the football all the time. That's just not his game. But I think DeMar is exactly kind of what they want out of a safety in this particular scheme. He doesn't have the same athletic ability as Micah or Jordan or even Taylor Rapp or Cole Bishop. But what he does is he knows the system and he understands how to keep things in front of him. And maybe one of these times he's going to get beat deep. But right now, I think they're comfortable having DeMar Hamlin right there.
Garrett Wilson, the Bills' secondary's biggest challenge, I would think, maybe pretty easily. 23 targets last week.
Man.
This was not a double overtime playoff game. This was a London game that ended in regulation. 23 targets. Wilson made a great catch in last year's opener for a touchdown at the Meadowlands, which you'll remember, MetLife Stadium. So what about...
That was on Trey White.
Yeah.
Okay. What about him here? Like, it seems like we're hearing all the time and even seeing that he and Rodgers are missing connections, but that those 23 targets got him double-digit catches and 100 yards and a score last week.
Well, they just kept feeding him, and you know he's their number one guy. Alan Lazard is dropping a lot of passes. He has decent numbers, but he's dropping a lot of passes. It just doesn't seem like it's very consistent from him. And outside of those two guys, really, they don't have a lot there, right? I mean, that's really the
big
guy
Mike,
that they're trying to get the ball to.
Oh,
what's that?
Big Mike Williams.
Big Mike doing nothing.
Yeah, Big Mike Williams. There you go. Listen, guys, I think you know of all the things that have kind of gone wrong for the Bills, I think a couple things, one thing you can really look at that's been going right is their corner play. I mean, Christian Benford has been outstanding this season. I think he's playing at an all-pro level. And Rasul Douglas has been really good. Can you pick apart a few plays where the guys, maybe one or two here that they've been beat? But, man, they're so different. We've talked about this, you know, that Douglas is such more an aggressive player where Benford is more of a conservative player, but it really works for both of their games. And I think it works for the defense because, you know, they're not traveling, and I don't expect them to do that here. They don't have to do that here. But you got one of each kind of guy here. They're both very, very high IQ football players. So, for all the things that kind of have gone a little bit wrong here, those are two guys that are playing at a really high level, and I think especially Benford, what he's doing. So I think the Bills are comfortable, you know, going against this group. Not saying, oh, my God, they're going to go out there and shut him down easily, but I don't think they're afraid of anybody right now at wide receiver because they know that they have a couple of guys out there who are really doing a nice job.
I think I would like Douglas's chances of getting a pick here against Rodgers.
Yeah.
Like he's
former teammate.
I mean, they have a lot of time together, but still, I feel like that's a guy. He to the way Rodgers is playing right now, I feel like Douglas is just going to be ready to pounce in this game.
And he is from the area. He's from New Jersey. Where is he from? East Orange, maybe? I got to look that up. You guys can look it up if you have it there. Let me see. I think it's from East Orange. Let me look real quick. East Orange, New Jersey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jersey, I got it right.
Good job. I'm not good at New Jersey.
He said this week.
I'm not good at New Jersey. I think Atlantic City is south. I can't do New Jersey.
Yeah. I'm not even sure where the Sopranos live.
It's such a small state.
Everything's near each other, right?
Everything's within walking distance in New Jersey, by the way.
Sort of. All right. That's a stretch.
But anyway, he's got, I think he said this week, at 26 ticket requests already. Like, a lot of family and friends come in. So, yeah, you add in what you just said about former teammate and Aaron Rodgers, and then I'll add in, like, hometown. A lot of people come in Monday Night Football. You know he's going to be jacked up and want to make a play in this game.
Tom's River is down a ways. I don't know. I've never been good at Jersey. Sal, well, you're going there, so you're the one that needs to know Jersey. Thank you for your time today, and we'll talk Monday.
All right, guys. Looking forward to it. Have a great weekend.
Oh, wait. Will you go to the Sunday night game?
Yeah.
Mike brought this up the other day. Will you go see Bengals Giants, or you got, like, big fancy dinner plans somewhere?
Well, maybe not big fancy dinner plans. You know, this is a Bill Wippert, Sal Capaccio trip. We always hang out in Manhattan together, right?
Okay.
When we go out, you guys know, he's my traveling buddy. We love to go to Manhattan. So where we stay, it's not far of a ride to go in the subway to go into Manhattan. We love walking around, going to Times Square, grabbing a slice of pizza. Sometimes we go to an Italian restaurant. We like to hang out. We do that. I will tell you guys, last year, the same thing happened. Remember, the Cowboys played the Giants Sunday night week one. The Bills played the Jets Monday night week one, right? I am not going to go into East Rutherford. I'm not going to go to that game. There's just no reason to. It's a little bit off the beaten path. I don't have necessarily big dinner plans, but we'll have plans.
All right, good deal.
You did not go to the Dallas Giants game, which was unfortunate because it was 40-0. You missed a lot.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
missed a lot from Dallas. Yeah. 40-0 on Sunday Night Football last year.
And I will say, I will be keeping tabs, of course, on the Yankees game one of the ALDS, which is the same time as the Bills and Jets game.
Right.
Can you go to that? Well, not if you're going. Could you get away with it? Could you?
Nah,
is there any way you could get away with it?
No,
AI sale on the sidelines.
I don't see him down there. I hear him. He's getting information. That could still be possible. Anyway, yeah, too bad they didn't line up differently.
All right, well, enjoy your trip, Sal. Safe travels, and I'd say go Yankees, but it would be insincere.
Hey, I totally get it. I understand. But you know what? Hopefully this weekend, my one hope is, you know, you go a lot more innings here. Game five for the, they use up a lot of bullpen, you know, for the Tigers. They go a lot of innings, and then, you know, the Yankees don't have to face as many guys.
Here's hoping.
Sounds good, Sal. Safe travels. All right, there's Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Yeah, Monday in New York. Are the Mets playing Monday too? I think they're
they will play on the road,
right? But they're like four, like afternoon maybe or something, mm-hmm. and then you got the Yankees, you got the Jets. I think the Rangers are home Monday night too. Yeah, I mean, I know it doesn't really hardly count.
You know, people say there's a shortage of things to do in New York City.
They do, huh?
You're sounding like maybe they're wrong, those people who say that. We've got time for your calls here, 803-0550. Your confidence level, Bills at Jets Monday night, maybe a little strategy, what you'd like to see them do more of or do better. At 6, we'll have picks, but we've got time before that. Football Friday continues. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
Each week, as you prepare for, you know, the defense you're going against, you look for ways to create advantages. You look for ways to put stress on the defense. Sometimes that'll involve motion, and sometimes that could involve unique formations, things like that. I think it's going to be a week-by-week basis. And as far as how much you can implement in the middle of the season, I think we have a really smart group of players. I think they can handle a lot. But that's going to be a case-by-case basis on how we think we can create advantage.
That is the new play caller of the New York Jets, Todd Downing. Been in the league a long time. Was here for a season as the quarterback's coach of the Bills in 2014. He has been an offensive coordinator in the league. I think that's not his title now. Nate Hackett is keeping that title.
Right.
But three times, the 17 Raiders. And as long as you have no questions, I'm happy to tell you anything you might want to know about the 2017 Raiders, just don't ask me. And then Tennessee, 21 and 22, One of those teams is the one seed team. I think 21, maybe?
Yeah, that's right.
2022 Titans is last year as an offensive coordinator, not successful. 26th in points, 29th in yards. But a little change of pace here. We'll see what the Bills get Monday night. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog Football Friday on WGR. Let's go to your calls at 803-0550. Here's Adam next. Hello, Adam.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Going all right. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, this Monday, I'm sorry.
You're fine.
We just got to bring the intensity. I think we lack a little bit of intensity. You know, we're going to the Meadowlands playing the Jets, and it seems like they always best us in the Meadowlands. And we can get it done in here, but I don't know.
It's a tough place for them to play. Allen has had tough games there, even games they've won. I'm thinking of a game where they kind of dominated but had to settle for field goals, so it ended up being unnecessarily close. It's been tight. I mean, the Bills have had, last year, the second time they played in Buffalo, the Bills clobbered them. That was a game where Shakir had that crazy long touchdown against the Jets, ran away from Sauce Gardner and just weaved his way in. They've had better times here than there. So yeah, it's a tough game. I mean, right now, I don't know. I'm going to be careful how I say this because we did just watch the team annihilate Jacksonville 3 weeks ago. With the state of their offense right now, and the way teams are feeling like they can play them more man and just sort of mess with Allen, I don't know what game I'm expecting to be easy at this point. You know, like I'm going to need to see them get back to, like, you know, maybe this is a tough spot. Obviously, it would be really encouraging if they got off against the Jets and Allen had some big day and they just, you know, cruise like they have in their other primetime games so far. Well, the first two, not the Baltimore game, obviously. But I think really next week against Tennessee is a game where I'm going to really be watching to see, like, okay, do I have it? Can I find it? I'm playing an inferior opponent here, and am I going to look like the better team, or is it going to be one of these games that is just sort of like fits and starts, and they just don't, you know, can't find their way, particularly on offense, and that can put a lot of stress on the defense. So, I hear you. Like, the state their offense looks to be in, I don't feel good playing anybody right now.
Tennessee's defense is good, though. I mean, I don't know if we need to get there yet, but their yards per play, and this is just what you tuned in for, second in the league. Who's first? The Jets.
Mm.
So,
yeah, no easy pickings there.
I don't think it is, right? Like, you want to think that you're not going to lose at home to Will Levis or Mason Rudolph, but next week, defensively, is a challenge. Then you go to Seattle, right?
Right. And that shouldn't be a challenge. Their defense is getting worked, it seems to me. So, but, you know, it's Seattle, so I don't know. It's a tough road trip.
It's far.
That's what I meant by tough. By tough, I meant far.
I went there last summer. I used to dream of living in Seattle. I almost took a job there when I was in my 20s, and it fell through. And so didn't happen. Stayed back, and, you know, here I am. Last summer I went there, and I just loved it. I mean, last night I'm watching that game. This is kind of true even before I ever went there. I look at Seattle, and I just want to be there. And so watching, like, Fitz and those guys, and, I love it. I'm not going to this game here, this Bills game, but...
Why not?
It's too far.
It's a tough road trip.
Didn't
you hear me?
It's a tough road trip. It's almost to Alaska.
Right. Vancouver.
Let's go to Ryan next. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, guys. Not calling about the Sabres, but I do think they're going to figure it out. I think they're going to be okay. As for the game on Monday, I am nervous, and the reason for that is the injury report. And it's not whether the guys play or not. I don't think that's going to make a huge difference. Players are so good in the league. If you're playing compromised, even at 90%, you know, there's a good chance your backup's going to be probably better anyways. it's just no surprise that, you know, Dawkins comes up with a hamstring injury against the Ravens, and then all of a sudden we can't block anybody. And then, you know, I'm sure he's still dealing with it, and we didn't really protect well the other day. Shakir, you know, plays through that ankle injury against the Ravens. Obviously, it didn't go well. Samuel has a turf toe all summer, and, you know, he doesn't even show up this year. And I guarantee you there's got to be ties to that. And it just seems like whenever the Bills start having guys showing up with things that are on the injury report week in and week out, not to mention Allen's hand, I think, is still an issue. I think it really hurts, and everybody deals with it. I get it, but it just seems like a lot of our guys have key injuries right now that they can play with, but aren't going anywhere anytime soon.
Sure. Yes. It's definitely important. It's, I think, good to think about when it's not going bad. You know, we had Bill Seasons early McDermott where they were just very lucky with injuries. You know, some people wanted to give them credit for that, and I was not really quick to do that, but there's maybe some ways you can help. When they get hurt a lot, you hear people talk about, like, well, what's the problem? Like, is there
training staff?
Is there some reason?
Right. Right.
And we're always looking for reasons for everything in life. There really isn't. There certainly doesn't have to be. And so these injuries have been costly. I think the caller is right. It's guys playing through stuff that you don't even know necessarily what it is. And Allen, so Allen has had this hand thing. His head bounces off the field in Houston, but I guess he's fine from that. I can't tell you that he isn't. It was very dubious just how quickly he went back on the field.
And it's been questioned enough that the league and the Players Association had to issue a joint, well, felt compelled. I don't know about had to. I don't know if anybody was clamoring for a statement, but there was a statement issued today. Like, everything was done right. Protocols were followed, cross the T, But, you know, the whole thing unfolded in a curious enough way, and there's been enough conversation about it that, again, they felt compelled to, from their standpoint, quote-unquote, set the record straight.
But he said, I mean, maybe he's to be believed, chest injury and an ankle injury was part of that. That's been on the injury report this week. So, I mean, we're almost playing operation here.
Yep.
It takes a very steady hand.
Yes, it does.
It takes a very steady hand. Has the show ever sounded older than an Operation reference? Do kids still play Operation? I think that's a game you could see on the rack
for
$8.
I'm trying to remember. I can't imagine it was a holdover from when my sisters and I were little kids. We had Operation.
Love Operation.
When the kids were little. I played Operation with them on Christmas or birthdays or something.
Did you have a favorite body part? I loved the bread basket. Because it was a shape of a piece of bread, wasn't it? Like, it was like a shape of like a little purse or something, like a piece of bread. No, it was just a piece of bread.
It was a piece of bread.
The bread basket.
In the belly.
Yes.
In the belly area.
The bread basket.
Yeah.
It's good. That's a team name.
I know.
Bread baskets.
I femur. I don't know.
You had the funny bone.
I like the femur.
Operation. Here, the season has gotten really away from us here.
Operation.
Thank you, Ryan and Adam. 803-0550. Picks at 6. I think I'm going to change one.
I mean, do whatever you want. You have a commanding 6.5 game lead.
Isn't maybe Carolina so comfortable being an underdog that maybe they're just like ready to win? 34 of their last 35 games, they have been an underdog. Somewhat, maybe ironically, the one time they were a favorite was last year against Pittsburgh. I think it was last year. Pittsburgh was the opponent.
How did that happen?
I know. Well, they were lost at quarterback there for a while.
But still.
Maybe it was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I'll find it. But 34 out of 35.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe they're ready to.
You should pick Carolina, Mike, he said, knowing he already is on Atlanta.
Atlanta. I have picked Carolina twice. 1-1.
You're so brave.
I had them at the Raiders, and they killed the Raiders. But I had them the week before that against the Chargers, I think it was, and they got destroyed. Like, you know what?
Atlanta feels like one of these teams that I never get right. If I pick against them, they cover or win, like Tampa a couple weeks ago. Or was that just last Thursday?
Last Thursday.
Okay. And so we didn't pick that game, but either way. and I pick them to win, they get drilled. So it's always, it feels risky. This is not scientific. This is, you know,
vibes.
Like referencing how many times the Sabres hit the posts or something, which seems egregiously more than every other team in the NHL, but it's probably not. That's me with Atlanta. I feel like I can never get Atlanta right.
Well, how about then, you ever think of this, not picking that game?
But I like it.
Well, Something has to give.
I deserve what I get then.
Something has to give. I think you're trying to talk me into Carolina with this whole theory that you're going to be wrong no matter what you do on that game.
This is where there's too much familiarity.
Overthinking.
We've known each other for too long.
Overthinking.
Exactly what I was doing.
The game within the game within the game. That's an example of how interesting and fun the pick segment is. That's coming your way in about 20 minutes. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Football Friday on WGR. Didn't say it at the time, but I just want to congratulate Sal Capaccio for not going to the Giants game Sunday night. Good for him. He sees enough football.
Yeah.
And it's the Giants in prime time.
And it's New York City.
And you're in New York City.
Right. So
let it come to you.
He's got a good thing going there with the, sounds like with Whippert. Go, you know, do a little
Broadway
touristy type stuff.
Like, he didn't mention a show, but that's good. In the window too.
Sure.
Sunday night.
Why not?
That's what I did. I'm not sure it was my last time. Last time I was there alone, I decided, you know what? I'm just going to pick one of these.
All right.
And it was about Carole King. It was a Broadway show about Carole King.
All right.
And it was great.
Yeah.
Loved it.
I would have liked that.
Tonight we have the Padres and the Dodgers. Winner gets the Mets in the National League Championship Series. Two Japanese starting pitchers, first time ever in the postseason. I've always liked watching Darvish.
Mm-hmm.
He's fun. Yamamoto, their big offseason acquisition, has been hurt a lot of this year, has been hit in these playoffs, but he gets the ball for the Dodgers. That's an 8:08 game
tonight
on Fox.
I read that Ohtani was campaigning for him to get this opportunity.
Uh-oh.
So, like internally.
That worries
me. I don't know. That could be Aaron Rodgers got Robert Saleh fired for all I know, which I actually think is true.
Or Josh Allen drafting Bills receivers.
Sure. But I just read some reference to like Ohtani. Was eager to see it. Like two Japanese starting pitchers in this winner-take-all game. He was all for it.
Do you want the Dodgers because of him? Mets-Dodgers is pretty good. Traditionally,
yeah.
But I have a Padres ticket, so I guess I'll say I'll be happy either way.
Yeah, I'm just happy the Mets made it. I'll be rooting for the Mets, whichever team comes out of there. Sorry for your Padres ticket. Like, I have any kind of power over it.
I think you do.
But, yeah.
You can control the Falcons. You can control the Padres.
Mm.
Many have said that.
That it is a package deal.
The Padres. And then we have Detroit Cleveland tomorrow afternoon to decide that series. Who do you like?
1:00. Boy, it's hard. Detroit, I read now, this was before yesterday's game, which Cleveland won, that up to the start of yesterday's game, in however many innings of the postseason so far, it's not that many. We're not that deep into it here. But Detroit had only been scored on in 4 innings.
In the whole playoffs? Wow.
Yeah. I think it was the whole playoffs. Not just that series, but they
beat Houston.
Yeah. That's nuts. So, I don't know. Like, can they do that again? I mean, the game's in Cleveland, so I guess we'll see. But
Skubal is pitching.
Yeah.
They've got the edge there.
Yeah.
Matt Boyd for Cleveland. NFL and 1 college game picks coming up after sports. Stay tuned. Find out what to do with your money this weekend. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, Football Friday on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.